Pod Tackler, episode number 124, New Halo 3 Hotness Part 2 for the week of August 6, 2007.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Pod Tackler, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast.
What?
I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
I'm not too cheap.
And I'm Vicious696.
What?
How did you wind up here, Vicious?
I don't know, man. I kind of just walked in the door and you were recording. I said, hey, let me be on here.
Wow.
You bribed us.
He said he was going to send
his scarab.
It's Halo, man. Like I told you, I've left Uncle Gamer. I'm Pod Tackler until September 25th, then I go back.
Cool. Oh, welcome, man. And that's you, Cheat. Welcome from last time, man.
Yep.
Welcome back.
Yeah. We still have loads to cover from that the EGM article that came out. We left out certain things from last week, and we're here to cover them.
Like a blanket. We're here to warm them up and keep them nice and cozy.
Nice and toasty.
Definitely.
So what do we got in store for the millions and millions of Podtaculites?
Well, Podtaculites, let's start off with one from SGT Corona. So starting it off, SGT Corona says, the Hornet, similar to the Banshee, and by the size of it, it could be very fast and maneuverable. I'm not sure if the new passenger Warthog will be in multiplayer, because the Mongoose sort of replicates it as far as carrying passengers, but you never know. Let's talk about the Hornet. Did you guys happen to see that image on EGM and some of the other things?
Yep, and I believe you actually see it on the E3 single-player trailer.
Oh, really?
If you look really quick, you do see it at one point. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's it was inevitable that we were going to have an equivalent to the Banshee. And it's totally fair because, I mean, you need something to counter that. So it's interesting to see how much damage you can take and how much more of an... how much... It can handle as far as, how many players, I guess, can board it if it's a single player. Is it two-passenger vehicle, or...
Well,
it's going to be kind of like a Banshee.
Let's clarify what we know so far about the Hornet. We know that it is a small airborne vehicle that's a human vehicle. It's kind of like... It has these propellers that go vertical so that it can hover vertically like a helicopter. And we know that it has at least one person in the pilot seat, if not possibly two, like one behind the other. And it does have these grates that go along the side that Marines can stand on. Now, what we don't know is whether it can go in multiplayer at all. So we're going to have to find that out as time comes on there. What we do know for sure is that it is going to be a single player. It is going to be something that you can carry Marines with that'll be firing on aliens as you go down closer. And, it's going to be definitely a cool vehicle, so.
Yeah. And I wouldn't see why they wouldn't put it in multiplayer. I mean, they're putting everything else, this mass transit type buffoon known as the Elephant. And... it would only be fair to have, give the human some type of, super agile vehicle that's aimed towards air combat.
Well, when you look at it, I mean, it would make sense on a map like Valhalla, that we know of so far, or even the one, like I was telling you, Sandtrap, the big desert map, those are big enough to have vehicles like that, because we saw in the beta they had the Banshee in Valhalla, so I would expect they'd probably have the Hornet, too.
Yep, and
It's cool how it's kind of has like the passengers on the vehicle have to like stand out in the open, so they're vulnerable, kind of like the Spectre was, and kind of like another vehicle that we're going to talk about shortly is, to where you can carry passengers, but if you carry passengers, they're going to be vulnerable, and that's kind of the balance of the vehicle. And it seems like that's a good way to both do it in single player, where there's kind of a visual, you know, you can see the Marines like firing down on the other aliens, and then being able to easily jump off of it as well, to be able to kind of enter the field, and also to be able to do that in multiplayer, so that, you know, it's it kind of balances everything out. And it seems like kind of a cool way to deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, imagine just being able to snipe, you know, the side passengers, and you know, pretty much level the playing field. What, you know, on a, because I mean, if you're gonna have four people on this vehicle, obviously you're pretty much going on an offensive stance. So I mean, it gives, I guess, you know, the defenders is somewhat of an advantage to, you know, if they can snipe, you know, the passengers off the side, and you know, you only have two guys now instead of four, and I mean, who knows? Maybe you could even carry a flag carrier or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of do an airlift out of the base with the flag, take off.
Oh, that'll be pretty sweet. What's it called?
Bring the Hornet.
Yeah, the Hornet. Bring the Hornet. I almost said the Banshee. That's
bring the Banshee.
Get out of here.
Go.
Yeah, but no, but imagine that, man. You're like, bring the Hornet. Hurry up! I got the flag. And
yeah, man.
I'm here to save the day. When you blow them up.
Yeah, but see, like I tell you, I'm addicted to the save film thing, and I don't even have a game yet. See, imagine you get the Hornet, and you're lifting the guy up with the flag, and Rocket Launcher just blows it up in the air. I'd be rewinding that like a million times.
I know. That would be awesome.
Dude, that's a good replacement for the Pelican, though, because, I mean, the Pelican's great in single player, but as far as multiplayer, it's so guarded, you know. You have, like, if you have, like, eight people inside a Pelican, there's no way you can actually take down the Pelican, you know, as far as, like, take down the people inside the Pelican. So,
you get your entire team in this Pelican.
I know.
You kill everybody in one shot. I mean, God forbid you're playing, you know... like a capture the flag.
Right.
And everybody goes, dude, let's go and bombard their base, man. And everybody
That's
gets
what
in the
fucking
and they die.
Dude, let's go, man.
Yeah, and they're all stoned while they're doing it.
Whoa, we all died and they got our flag. Right.
Man, what are we gonna do?
Pass the Cheetos, man.
Anybody got more Twinkies? I'm hungry. Yeah, knock on wood, man. Let's hope that it is on a multiplayer, because we definitely ache for more, you know, flying excitement, you know, some more variety when it comes to vehicles like that.
We definitely ache for more flying excitement, man.
Yeah.
I must have it.
Yeah, but you got to think, though, they've got to have some kind of marine flying vehicle in multiplayer. I mean, we haven't had it in the first two games, so it makes sense.
It would be
nice. They're not going to give us a Pelican.
Get in the Pelican.
Give us the Hornet, damn you.
Get to the Hornet. Give me a Pelican, some lime. Pelican on the rocks.
What would you do for a Pelican? All right, cool.
Yeah, well, he also mentions, there is a successor to Lockout, Guardian or Jub-Jub. Looks foresty in a way, great for ninja-based game types. The biggest vehicle of them all, the Elephant, and we talked about that in the previous one. But let's talk about Guardian, Jub-Jub. Did you guys happen to see some of the screenshots of that? Why don't you give us your opinion on Guardian, man?
Well, unfortunately, I haven't had time to
Now, Vicious, is this what they showed at E3?
No, they showed us Sandtrap at E3.
The single player, the beginning.
Oh, well, that was CR-117.
Okay.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm with the two cheat then. I haven't seen anything regarding Jub-Jub.
Okay, now, Let me just mention a few things that I saw from this, and maybe we can all kind of comment on this, or whoever wants to. I saw the E3, not the E3, but the Electronic Gaming Monthly magazine write-up on this, as far as like the screenshots from that. And it looks similar to Lockout, but they've definitely made some changes on how the whole layout is. First of all, that everything is takes place in like a high level, like way up in the trees. I don't know where, what planet this is on. I'm assuming maybe it's Earth. I don't know, but it's way up in the trees anyway. In addition to being up in the trees, and there's trees all around and everything, and you know, it's everything's green. There's also like a lot of overgrowth on all the parts of the level. So there's like vines that are kind of like moving in on, you know, the different walls and things like that, and on the floors, and they're kind of taking over the level. So there's, you know, there's that. It keeps it kind of interesting, and it makes it kind of a cool graphical flourish that goes on with that map. But also, one of the cool things, first of all, one of the changes I saw on the map that was a significant change was that the center of the map on the top level, so like above glass, is circular instead of square. I don't know how that changes the gameplay because I didn't see every single angle. Like I didn't see if you could still do the double jump onto the sniper area, you know, or how that works. Mm-hmm. But I do know also that it looks to me like the gap between the top floor lift and the center above glass is now bridged, so you can actually like walk across that.
So oh wow, cool!
It also That's looks like sweet. The top floor. There's kind of a passageway between what is it the I guess the top floor. It looks like there might be possibly another floor on top of the BR tower. I may be wrong on that, but it looks like kind of there's a passageway that goes out above the above glass, like the next level up, that goes out from that tower, and then there's something above that as well. So I don't know if maybe there's another level on that, or it kind of, you know, kind of like Zanzibar expands in Halo 3. Maybe Lockout does this a similar kind of thing where it expands, but it keeps it still very well balanced. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sure they thought about it very carefully, and Lockout is amongst, you know, the top played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maps in Halo 2, so to give us some form of next generation Lockout, it's going to be pretty awesome.
Definitely. For sure. I mean, it's hard to say because, you know, none of us has actually played the level. None of us know that much except for the screenshots that there's only two screenshots that I've seen that actually show a significant portion of the level. And all of those are basically just show above glass and pretty much that's it. You know, and a tiny bit of the other areas, but it's only leading to the other areas. It doesn't really show any of the other stuff. So, you know, we'll see how that ends up and how the whole thing will kind of lay out. I really think it's going to be kind of a Zanzibar thing where it's going to expand on it and do it in a balanced way. And I'm looking forward to that, definitely. So, you know, everybody loves Lockout, and this is going to be one that'll really do the trick.
Do you feel they're going to, with Halo 3, they're going to remake some of the classic maps like they did with Halo 2?
I would think so.
Yeah. Or do you want new maps instead of typical, you know, remakes?
Well, you know, it was interesting. Frankie, in a video I was telling you about that they did in Amsterdam, which just came out today. He was speaking about downloadable content, and he mentioned that they have a lot of surprises, you know, for everyone when they actually start working on all the DLC. So you got to think some remakes are going to be in there, without a doubt.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I hope so. That'll be nice. Pretty nice.
Yeah, everybody gets attached to their favorite old map, and then it's not there, and then they want it in there.
Yeah.
No! That would be Butter McButterson.
We're Sidewinder, man. I want Sidewinder back.
What's part 4?
Well, if you know it's coming, I wouldn't be surprised.
That would be sweet, man.
If it's already on there. Final.
Which one?
Blood Gulch 12.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Gulch 12.
Well, I mean, we got Valhalla to to be the successor to Blood Gulch. But
And yeah, I guess you're right. I guess that is the already the successor to it.
Yeah. So see, as long as they get rid of the as long as they get rid of the oddball area where they have that that cliff up there, and people, you know, jump up on that cliff and defend, the whole map becomes about that tiny cliff. Yeah, as long as they deal with that, I'm good with Valhalla. And of course, you know, the obvious things like getting out of the map and, you know, that kind of stuff. But I'm sure that's already taken care of.
Those are always fun, though. I mean, if you're not using it to snipe people from 3 miles away, I think it's fun, because I'd always do that. I mean, half the fun I had with Halo 2 was trying to get out of maps and trying to mess with the glitches with the oddball and stuff. I mean, that's part of where Halo 2's longevity has come by. If you check out, like, high-impact Halo or something, they got so many videos on so many glitches, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Well, it's true.
Well, you know...
Go ahead.
You know, like Fumo was saying that, you know, you listened to the last Bungie podcast, I remember they even mentioned, just talking about the beta and all the things that they learned from us getting to play it early. You got to think things like that, where they're seeing that there's basically a choke point on a map. You know, they're probably going to change it by the time we get the final version.
Yeah, I don't doubt they will with the three maps we had during the beta. I mean, has it been?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. I guarantee all three of those maps will be slightly different by the time we get them final.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think there's a possible chance of maybe those maps being a portion of what they really will be in the final version?
That would be crazy if that's true. You come into the map, you're like, whoa!
Wait a minute, what? I don't remember this.
Yeah.
I don't know, I can't imagine Snowbound being like three times as big as it is in the beta.
Where'd that pelican come from?
Yeah, it'll be nice, though. It will be nice. Who knows? Okay, now we have Onage Avenger, and he talks about the new Spectre. He hopes it will be better than its cousin, the Warthog, because of the new turret, and please add more protection to the passengers. Now, what are your thoughts about this? Once again, I do apologize because I haven't seen anything. I you know, I don't have the article in front of me.
Okay.
So, I mean, what exactly does it look like? Does it look like the old Spectre? Is it
remodeled
like everything else?
I guess let me clarify this. The Brute, I forget what it's called. I apologize to the listeners because I don't remember the name of it. But I call it the Brute Spectre because it's similar in the way of how many people it can carry. It has a turret on it. And what it looks like is basically a giant jet engine on a sled, kind of. Except for it has like these two wings that go along the side that people can sit on. So behind the sled, behind the jet engine rather, is a, you know, some kind of pilot that is able to kind of lead the whole way. And on top of that jet engine is someone that can run a turret and that can fire on people. And on the sides, on the wings, people can sit on that. So it can carry a total of four people. Now, what's different on this, first of all, is it seems like it has more killing power as far as like being able to splatter people, because it's just the mass of it altogether, and being able to have this huge jet engine in front, you would think that like it would just like plow through people and just cut them to shreds. Hmm. But you know, we'll that comes to to be seen. What did you guys think of like the Spectre in Halo 2, as far as like, you know, myself, okay, real quick, myself on the Spectre, it was a great vehicle. It was too bad. It was so underpowered. It was so vulnerable, yeah. And the weapon was so weak, and it was just so easily destroyed. You know, it was like such a shame because it carried so many people. What'd you guys think of that?
Yeah,
I agree. I think it was a good vehicle and design, but the people just preferred the Warthog because, as you said, because the turret is weak. I did like the fact that you could splatter people with the little boost like the Ghost has.
Yeah, it was. I mean, maybe they made it weak because you can transport more people. But I mean, regardless, it was good for, you know, like you know, doing glitches and stuff. You know, gliding on the side of Beaver Creek, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a wasted opportunity to have a nice, you know, weapon to counter the Warthog, because I mean there was really no competition once, you know, somebody had a turret, you know, on the Warthog, and you turn around with a little pea shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, it really didn't do anything. It was a big disadvantage.
Yeah,
definitely. I also think the other thing about the Spectre was the fact that it wasn't the original vehicle you start with, like in matchmaking and stuff. The fact that you didn't start with it at all didn't help its chances at all. I think had you spawned with it, it would have been a little bit more.
Yes, absolutely.
Powerful, yeah.
Well, not the fact that if you started with it, it'd be powerful, because by design it was pretty weak. But if you had the option to use it more, maybe through familiarity, you can discover new ways how to utilize it correctly, and maybe use it as a tactical vehicle instead of a combat vehicle.
Hmm,
I agree.
We'll never know.
We'll have to find out when it comes out, but it seems like it's you know, both a splattering vehicle and, you know, it has a significant turret, while it does leave the guys on the wings on the side open, and it has that balance going on to where you can bring four people into an area, but you still have two guys that could easily be taken out on the side. And, you know, I think that's plenty of capability of, like, balancing it out, you know? I mean, we need a significant vehicle where you can bring more than three people in to an area.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. You know, having that ability without making it so weak that it's, you know, easily destructible from any direction and from with any weapon, pretty much, you know, is yep. is a cool deal.
Cool. Well, let's see how it performs. Definitely. Okay, so number five, he mentions the portable shield would make a great element in making movies, and as a replacement for the bubble shield, and the shield recharger would be a little newbie, and I leave like that before I go crazy about noob-trocity.
He's being kind of silly there. The shield recharger. If it's anything like the shield drainer, it'll be shield recharger and... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. No, go ahead. I was just going to say, they just balance each other out. That's all.
Yeah, but just in one combat situation, I mean, I didn't use the shield drainer hardly at all on...
I did.
Yeah.
Every chance I got.
True, but, I mean, if it's anything like the shield drainer, it'll recharge everybody's shield.
Exactly.
Yeah, it'll have its technical uses, like you stick it in your base and recharge everything. Mm-hmm. But,
and of course, from what we saw in the beta, there will only be one. You know, one of these deployable weapons. So it's not going to be like both teams are going to have one.
Right.
Shield recharges for everybody!
And if you order now, you get this mini shield recharger.
It slices and dices.
Now, you know, I have a question. Obviously, none of you can answer it. This is kind of just talking to myself, but are the brutes going to have rechargeable shields in campaign? Because I'm trying to think what the purpose of it, because, you know, all your enemies will have the same equipment in campaign, so what purpose would a brute having a recharger be?
Well, from what I saw, like, in the E3 trailer, single-player trailer, they were utilizing the bubble shield.
Oh yeah, that was one thing I didn't mention the last time I was on that. Oh yeah, the brutes were definitely throwing down the bubble shield and using it effectively.
Yes,
when that little campaign thing. Yeah, oh yeah, definitely good thing.
And you know, it's only fitting that they use all the deployable weapons to their advantage. So I'm assuming that, you know, even though the brutes aren't supposed to have shields, that maybe, you know, the hunters, or, you know, there's still some elites, you know, with shields. Maybe the jackals use it. I don't know.
Because they use shields. Or it could just be a multiplayer only deployable weapon. I mean, some of these things won't be
possible. Campaign.
And you know, it, like you said, it, I mean, if you utilize it and your enemy is just as hurt as you are, you're both going to recharge.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one
all
of
right,
those.
Do over.
Yeah, you definitely got to use it wisely.
You know, that's the thing is that I was going to mention as well is that the shield generator looks like it's possibly a human equipment, while the shield recharger, you know what I'm saying? The shield, the bubble shield looks like a human deployment, but the shield recharger and some of the other things that are like a sphere look more like a monitor. So they look almost like a Forerunner or possibly Covenant equipment. So it could be that there's equipment for both sides.
Why don't you say that? Yeah.
Yeah, possibly, like Vicious said, balance each other out. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I like the shield drainer because there was times in the beta where I knew I had it, and I'm like, all right, if I get, you know, two guys coming at me, I'm throwing it down. I'm gonna pay the price. But they're going to get hurt, and my teammate can finish them off. Or when it self-detonates, you know, they're, you know, not aware, and they die. And, that, and there's been times where, you know, I would die, and as I'm respawning, it says I got, you know, a double kill or something because people just ran by it. As, you know, and it ain't nothing better than that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, we've talked about the recharger. What do you guys think of the portable shield? Vicious?
I think it'll be interesting to see how it's used in multiplayer more than anything. Will it have a real advantage? I mean, I'm just trying to picture in multiplayer me putting up this portable shield. Will it really do anything for me as far as against a human opponent? Would they just jump on the other side of me and melee me in the back of the head or something, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. Obviously, in campaign, it's going to have its uses against the jackals and the snipers, but I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting to see how, when we get to see it in motion, how it looks.
Well, right. That's where you pretty much, you almost answered the question by saying jackals, because it will protect you against human snipers. And you can set it in a spot where, let's say, you have cover, but there is, you know, the sniper knows there's an opening that you got to pass by. So let's say you drop this shield in it, you know, and it kind of, you know, allows you to get through that opening without being sniped. I mean, I don't know how big it is. I haven't seen it. I mean, I don't know if it looks like what the jackals use.
Right. So that's what I'm wondering, if it's like what the jackals have, where you just stick it in place. And
on that one, I really think it's similar to the way the Halo 2, like the it looked like the deployable shields were, like for instance the Covenant shields, where it kind of, the shield generator was on the ground, and it kind of had an egg-shaped thing going on to where it was like you could stand up behind it and you would be protected. So I think with that, you know, as long as you're at a significant distance to where at least BR range or beyond, then you could hide behind that and you'd be good enough to recharge your shields at least and be able to deal with anybody mid-range or beyond. So
yeah, because from the sounds of it, it sounds as though it's mainly used to protect yourself from a long distance, where you have the time to recuperate and you have enough distance between you and the enemy to see them coming, and you know, you can plan your next maneuver, you know. So
it'll have its uses, just like the like all the other equipment. I mean, people just have to figure it out for themselves. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'm so far behind, you know, with all this, some of the information that came out. And, but I mean, I'm definitely gonna check out the magazine when it comes out, newsstands.
Yeah, you guys, be sure to check out EGM, Electronic Gaming Monthly, at the newsstands, or if you subscribe, be sure to take a look at that. For sure, there's a lot of new stuff in there. Moving on.
All right, Legendary Hooligan asks, the Elite armor variants look cool. If I'm an Elite, I want to have the bulky armor of Uzi Taham. And I know I said it wrong. You know, that dude. Mixed with the Ceremonial Arbiter armor. I saw some of the scans of the Elite versions of the armor. Was it permutations, yeah, however you say it. And I mean, I guess the best example of, for someone that hasn't seen it, if you've seen the picture of the four-player co-op, look at the Elite on the back left. That's kind of almost like a customized armor right there. And yeah, and I mean, you know, it's just like with the, we have the different variations with the Spartans. The Elites have the same thing. So I mean, it looks really cool to me.
Hmm. Right. I wonder if the problem is going to be fixed with the disadvantage of being an Elite player model, where, you know, they're easier to snipe and, you know, I mean, what
I heard, and I can't remember where I heard this. I can't remember if Frankie said it in audio if I read it, but supposedly they're aware of that and they're doing something to resolve it. So, I mean, they must be if they're going to go through all the trouble of bringing the elites back into multiplayer and doing the armor, and they know people don't play with them on Halo 2. They got to do something, or it's just going to be the same thing again.
Yeah.
Now the problem is that they have such a large head, and you know it's so low and easy to snipe that it's easy to get a headshot on them. And the thing is with that, if you miss the headshot, since their head is so like lurched forward, even if you miss the headshot, you'll hit the body. And so that's the problem with the elites. Of course, you know, the advantage was supposed to be if you shoot from behind, it's harder to get a headshot. But, you know, there's such an advantage on the front that it kind of way outweighs that and really unbalances the elites. And that's why so few people were elites with Halo 2. Hopefully with Halo 3, they somehow manage the stance of the elites to where it's something different on that, and also the size of the head. I know, like Vicious was talking about, the person on the left in the co-op images, the elite rather, he looks significantly different than the other elites. They don't have like the spiky things going off on the back of their head. He more has kind of like a rounded thing going on the top of his head, and like some lights going on in the corners. And it looks really interesting, you know. It's kind of a cool permutation on the way normally elites look, and it's a pretty cool difference.
More aerodynamic for when you launch.
Yeah. helpful for some elite baseball.
Swing that about.
All right, so I mean, was there anything else with these customizable armors? Would they have any advantage to using them? I mean, I know I've heard with the Spartan armor there wasn't going to be any upgrades, I guess, to your ability. What about?
I don't think they add anything to your ability. It's just more of like from when they gave us a demo at E3. It's almost like a thing to kind of show your experience within multiplayer, you know, because I guess you can get this different armor, you know, the more experience you get and the longer you play and wins and all that kind of stuff. So, like I said before, you know, JVB has his elite armor afro, you know, we'll know he's been playing a lot.
Oh, you definitely better believe that. I'm going to be sporting the, you know, the Elite Afro with the Spartan flip-flops.
Yeah.
Awesome.
your Covenant members only jacket. Yeah, you know what it is.
And my Prophet's Speedo.
Yeah. He's the only member.
No, my brute Speedos. Yeah. With the little fur and stuff in the front.
Word.
Yeah.
How you like the Speedo?
Nah, my Speedos are a little too tight.
So the thing is with the armor variants is that they're definitely unlockable in campaign mode or co-op, one of the two or both. But the thing is with that is that there are definitely at least one or two that are available when you start. So you can go between like maybe two or three different variants as far as like when you first start off within multiplayer. But then once you play a little more campaign and you play there's like certain challenges that you have to complete, then once you do that, you can unlock some different armor variants and you can be able to, you know, have the leanness that goes with hey, I unlocked this, so I was able to, you know, play with this variant. So definitely seems cool.
Now let's say we're going to throw a scenario out there, and let's say with all this talk of new armor, what happens if Bungie comes out and pulls an Oblivion on us and say, hey, we have new armor for 500 Microsoft points? How would you feel about that?
I think everyone that buys it, they would get laughed at in multiplayer. You noob, why did you buy that armor? You know?
Exactly. Offered some sort of ability, you know, enhancer. Nobody's gonna buy that.
Yeah.
They better not have an ability enhancer, dude. That's like
that's what I was about to say.
That's like Magic the Gathering, man. It's like if you spend more money, you're a better player. That's stupid, man. It's like whoever has the most money is the best player, you know. Then what's the point of even having a game based on skill, you know?
I think Bungie would do that. Yeah, I couldn't see Bungie charging for armor. That would be pretty bad. Yeah,
they would draw the line at that, definitely. As far as like actually having armor that has a tactical advantage over other armor, definitely not, you know.
I'll buy it if it has the Partacular logo on it.
Exactly.
You know, actually, I could see them doing like a Mr. Chief or something, you know, just to be funny.
Mr. Chief.
Yeah, but that's about it.
Be great. Yeah.
Funny
Mr. Chief. I don't know, man. Or David Hasselhoff Chief.
Yeah. There you go.
I've been talking about freedom.
Freedom.
When I was a little boy. Oh, man.
All right, well, we better wrap it up here. Send in your comments.
I'm going delirious here. Sorry.
Delirious. Send your comments to center to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show.
Yes, and you can call. Here I go again with this. You know what? The two cheat, you take this one.
You can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO and leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly on the Customs and Collins show, which will return eventually.
Be sure to check us out at podtacular.com, and while you're there, check out the forums. There's a lot of buzz about Halo 3 and other stuff.
And thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or site or contributing to our PayPal, I don't get any money. Anyway, to help out with the hosting bill or subscribing to the show and reviewing those guys in iTunes. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do it without you. I am Podtacular. It is us. I'm Podtacular to September 25th.
Yeah. Contributing to our PayPal to help Vicious's wealth.
That's right. Buy me a copy of Halo 3.
Aww.
Well, check out the other shows on GamerCast Network, GamerTag Radio, Uncle Gamer, and the GamerCast Network Video Game Show. And until next time, guys, I'm Fumo Jive.
I am BJV. JVB. I'm JVB. Sorry.
And we have Vicious 696 here. And keep on fragging trucks, guys.
From UncleGamer.com. So
I'm Podtacular, man. Get it right.
Yeah, I know, right? He's the unofficial third person of
formerly from UncleGamer.com, we have Vicious.
The gamer formerly known as Vicious.
There's only one thing left to say.
Podtacular, episode number 124, New Halo 3 Heart. okay, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. See, I got to do it at least once. All right, here we go.
Yeah, definitely. And, okay, the next...
I'm sorry, hang on just a second.
Here.
15.
Okay.
40. And it's close. And I'm going to bring my cat inside so he stops freaking out at the door. I don't know if you guys heard him or not, but he's, like, scratching at the door and going nuts, so... hopefully he didn't. All right, hang on.
Mama! I didn't know it. I can't get the rules.
So, I guess I'll continue with the 2G, or the 2G. With Marine 3000. My cat's eating my cord. He's gonna freaking break it.
It doesn't have, it has, it doesn't have as,
what?
A little lag there.
Yep. Yeah, I'm gonna run to the fridge real quick. Get something, right?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay. Well, more like jog, but I'll be back. Hello.
Hello.
Spock.
Yeah, it was more like a speed walk, actually.
Speed walk.
Power walk.
Yeah,
like
nice.
A slow speed walk.
Gotta swing the arms, man. It's good. It's good for the I don't know, balance or something.
Actually, you laugh, man. When I gotta run up and down them steps all day,
yeah,
I swing them arms, boy. It keeps me balanced.
Really? That's good to know.
Yeah.
And it gives me that special oomph.
I said it totally wrong. But you know, a Podtacular and
say it again if you like.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about. Go to podtacular.com and see Gamercast Network's very own video game show at videogameshow.net or org. I forgot. You gotta forgive me, guys. I covered all dot dots.
I'll fix that.
Oh god, yeah. He's gonna dub it over my voice. It's gonna be like dot org.
Dot org.
Dot org. Alright. You can call our listener voicemail at 2-1. Let's try that again.
2-1-0. Blast off.
GamercastNetwork.com